Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 for a little while this morning. Amen. We've touched on these things about what invites the presence of God into our life. And I want to talk to you about defeating the doldrums. I ministered on that years and years ago. But I see so many Christians that seems like they're a boat sitting out there in the ocean with no sense of direction. And even if they've got a sense of direction, there's no wind in the sail. They're not really headed anywhere. And if you're not headed anywhere, you're not going anywhere. In fact, I like what one preacher said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Can you say amen? So there's a lot of people that had plans. They became discouraged. They had a vision. They've lost the vision. They had the first love burning brightly. Clearly, they've lost the first love. They're not motivated like they were once motivated to seek Him, to serve Him. And you may find yourself in what is defined the word is not in the Bible, but it's a descriptive word of many words that's found in the Bible. And that's the doldrums. And if you are in that state, God, amen, wants to stir our hearts and help us get out of that state. Can you say amen? Everybody say the doldrums. Well, before we define doldrums, I'm going to just kind of add to the title of this and how to keep on keeping on. Everybody say, keep on keeping on. When Brother Taylor comes and prays, he doesn't pray that professional preacher prayer. Anybody ever heard the professional preacher prayer? Amen. It sounds beautiful. It's highly eloquent. But you just don't feel that it's coming from the heart. Amen. And all of the prayer work and all the real stuff is supposed to come from the heart and not just from the head. Brother Taylor moves me when he prays over the offering. He moves me spiritually when he prays over the service because it's coming from his heart. He means it and we feel it. Amen. And God knows it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God listens to the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women. And if that fire is still in there and we start talking to Him, it flames up. If that fire is still in there and we really start worshiping Him, it flames up. Can you say amen? If it's not in there, and I see these choirs that have a procession. Our choir, you know, it would take a long time for the choir to get there. Amen. If you've got a big choir and you have a procession to line up and to get ready to sing. And then when they're done, there's a recession like we're in economically in this nation. And they go out. But they stand and sing stoically. Their music leader has taught them, don't let the fire flame up. Whatever you do, don't let the fire flame up. Amen. And if there's any fire in there and you're worshiping God, it's supposed to flame up. That's why David said, amen, when you worship God, you do it, bless the Lord, O my soul, and how much? How much? All. You can see the flame of that ardent, white-hot love for Christ in his heart just flaming up. Can you say amen? When the ark comes back to Jerusalem, they forget about protocol. A king leads the procession. And protocol is broken. All of the dignity. Everybody say dignity. Amen. It's all out the window. This is real. Can you say, man? God is going to bless us again. We don't have any enemy to fear again. Amen. God is restoring us. That ark that was lost in battle because of compromise has been brought back because David has stood true to God. And the ark is now coming back to its rightful resting place. Hallelujah. And they said, now that defense system is back. And this God who comes through when we need Him, He's back. Hallelujah. So David said, we've got to let him know how much we appreciate God being back with us. And David took off his outer garment and don't visualize some fruit of the looms. Amen. He had an undergarment. It wasn't that. Amen. He took off his outer garment. He had on an undergarment, but he had his belt on. And you know what he had to do? He had to pull the undergarment up to do what he did and stuff it in his belt. And you can see him reaching back to the back and pulling up the back of his robe and grabbing the front with it and stuffing it in his belt. Now you've got a king that looks like he's wearing a giant diaper. I told you protocol is broken. Can you say amen? The ark is back. What is requisite? What does God want to receive? What does David know how to give him that will please God? What shall I render? David said in one place, what shall I render to God for all of his benefits unto me? Amen. Well, he answers it. Amen. It's a rhetorical question to him, but it's a revelation to us of how to please God. He answers that in another psalm, Psalm 103. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And don't forget, this is the incentive to keep it flaming up. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't forget all of his benefits. You sung the song. It was the cornerstone for this sermon today. Roll back the curtain of memory. Show me where you took me from. And show me where I might have been. Yes, even show me where I could have been and would have been had I not come to you when I came to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I've been married for 47 years. But I want you to know God saved us just in time. Because the pressure was on our marriage. We got married at 16 and 14. And everything was against our marriage working. We came to a point in our marriage, we thought, you know something, from 16 and 14, all we've done is raise this baby and work like crazy and worry about bills. And we've had no fun. Yeah. Amen. We didn't have any fun. We, you know, it's go to work, and I used to go to work and do without my lunch because I didn't have lunch money, and they would ask me to go eat at lunchtime. I'd tell them I wasn't hungry, and I was lying. I was starving, but I didn't have the money to get lunch. So I worked in a grocery store. I would go back in the back room. They would send me back to pull the day-old bread off of our own brand of bread and to burn it in an incinerator in the back, to throw that bread in the incinerator. I would lay two loaves of bread over to the side. I would go back in the back, open one of those loaves of bread, and I would eat that bread until my stomach got fairly full. Then I'd go out to the water fountain, I'd drink water, and I was ready to go for the rest of the day. We wasn't having any fun. It wasn't fun. I had an old car that on the way to work, because of the heat, it got overheated. About a mile from my job, it would overheat. I would pull it over to the side and park it and hitchhike or walk the rest of the way to work. The evening came, I would try to get a ride back to my car and walk that mile. Get in it, it had cooled off, the sun had went down, it would take me back home. Amen. It was so faithful. The car was so faithful though. I knew when I was about to the place where it was going to quit, and I'd start looking for a place to pull it off and leave it. Incredible. That was not fun. It wasn't fun, amen, that you couldn't go to a movie, you couldn't go to a restaurant. Fun was when I went to my mother's house on the weekend and eat all we wanted. My mama cooked ham every Sunday. Every Sunday she cooking a ham, potato salad, them big old butter beans. I'm not talking about them little things. I'm talking about them big boys. Can you say amen? With ham hocks in that, amen, and iced tea. Praise the Lord. That Sunday come, here I come.
Yeah. Oh, we love you, Mom.
Mama, how you been? I'm sniffing that ham cooking. I love my mama. Amen. She cooking me a ham every Sunday. And she didn't have to invite me. Couldn't disinvite me. I was coming. I didn't need an RSVP. Whatever, can you say amen? I'm showing up. Praise God. No reservation needed. That's my mama's house. My mama cooking soul food. Hallelujah, I'm coming. Praise God, amen. How many had a mama that cooked like that? We had some people here, made me a full gospel preacher. Sister Hodges never went to her house. She wasn't either cooking or had a big old table full of leftovers. Amen, made me sit down and eat. Praise God. I became 224 pounds visiting Sister Hodges. Praise God. I did. And I'm 5'6" with my shoes off. Praise God. Amen. And it wasn't muscle either. Amen. Well, it was a little bit of muscle right here. But God was good. God was good. Hallelujah. Let's talk about this for just a few minutes. The doldrums are real. They're real. I remember when I couldn't lighten up like I am right now. And it's not that we're not going to get serious for the next 20 minutes, but I remember when I couldn't hardly lighten up in the service. because I felt the intensity and the pressure. I felt like everything had become a struggle. I didn't know how to walk in a victory that was already mine in Jesus Christ. I didn't know. All I saw was how to fight the devil, and every day was a strenuous fight, and the pressure of spiritual warfare, fought the wrong way, can defeat you. Can you say amen? If you are tense every day of your life, ready for battle, amen, and you're not resting in the Lord, and you're not fighting the good fight of faith. Let me explain something before we read this. We certainly are not going to get down my outline. I can see that right now. But let me explain something to you. The Bible said in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and the spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this earth." Now, we're no match in and of ourselves for those kind of spiritual entities that are arrayed against Christ and His church. We're no match for that. So the Bible said, take ye the whole armor of God. Amen. Put on the whole armor, and then it's enumerated in Ephesians 6. The breastplate of righteousness. Actually, it starts out with the first thing that a Roman soldier, because that's the analogy that is being used as a Roman soldier. And his apparel for battle. When he gets up in the morning, he doesn't grab his sword. When he gets up in the morning, he doesn't grab his shield. When he gets up in the morning, he doesn't grab his helmet. The first thing he grabs in the morning is his belt. Let your loins, because everything hinged on that first piece of armor. Let your loins be girt about with truth. I want you to know something about the devil. The truth is, he ain't what he used to be. He used to be a high-ranking archangel in heaven, but he ain't what he used to be. Can you say amen? And when 70 got anointed and went out and through the authority of Jesus' name began to cast devils out, and they thought they were big spiritual shots because of that awesome power, he said, "Rejoice not." Well, the first thing he told them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Can you say amen? He ain't what he used to be. Can you say amen? He's a fallen angel. He doesn't. This is not a power equal to power struggle going on. This is God Almighty and a fallen angel in this battle. And the battle is the Lord's. And the battle has been fought. And the battle has been won in heaven. And the battle has been fought at the cross and won for us. Amen. But through Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. Victory is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Let your loins be girt about with truth. The devil is a liar, the father of it. Truth defeats every lie. Amen. And the Bible said, "Sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth." Can you say, man, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Amen. Someone asked Christ, "What is the truth?" He said, "I'm the truth." Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let your loins be girt about with truth. I want to tell you something about the spiritual armor. It's not just putting on biblical knowledge. Putting on a person. The Bible said put on the armor of light. You're fighting the prince of darkness, so put on the armor of light. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the one who lights every man that comes into the world. There's enough light. He's given everyone enough illumination in a sin-darkened world with a sin-hardened heart. There's enough light there to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we preached in Haiti, we saw demon demonstrations while we lifted up Jesus. We saw people literally fall down on the ground and look like they became disjointed. And they were moving in a way that a human body laying prostrate could not possibly move unless it looked like bones, unless we were triple jointed. I'm serious. We saw some people, and while we were praising God, it's like demon powers couldn't stand it. And they manifest while we exalted Jesus. I remember when they called on me to speak, I said, "Many brethren," I'm using an interpreter, "Many brethren, we're not coming to preach to you a faith that is unique to where we live, and we're bringing that faith to indoctrinate you. No, this is a universal truth. This is for every man, woman, boy, and girl. We're coming to declare unto you Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, the Savior of the world." Amen. No wonder demons got upset. We were preaching, amen, and exalting the one and the only one that can save, the only one that can deliver, the only one that can set free. One God, one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. We saw God move. We saw the devil move, and we saw God move. But we realized the devil is deathly afraid of God. The Bible said, "Thou believest? There's one God, thou doest well." The devils believe and tremble. Everybody say, "And tremble." Glory to God. When we went down in Jamaica and ministered there for a while, my wife mainly spent some time in Jamaica. She was not there a couple of days until a witch doctor came, practicing voodoo, whatever. Anyway, he came to put a curse on the mission house where they were. And he did all of his whatever, you know, his incantations to put a curse on the mission house. Amen. And it's so good, isn't it? It's so good. I remember when T.L. Lowry went down to preach down in Africa, and there was a particular lady who, because of her familiarity with demonic spirits, she used witchcraft to control people with fear. Amen. And she came when he came. She came to absolutely try to hex or put some kind of curse or pray against the meeting that was going to take place. So when she came to the meeting, he went right up to her, and he looked her eye to eye in front of all those people. This is called a power encounter, where God's power is going to come in contact with the power of the enemy. And he said he walked straight back to her, looked her in the eye, and he said, "Mama," because they all knew she was the head lady, "Mama, my master, Jesus Christ, defeated your master 2,000 years ago at the cross." And he said, "And Mama, I want you to know something. As long as I'm here, I'm boss." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said that meeting broke loose. God showed up. God showed out when he preached Jesus that night. And all of the incantations and all of the evoking powers of darkness could not stop God, because I beheld Satan as lightning. What? Fall from heaven. Rejoice not that demons are subject to you. Why do you say that? Because it ain't no big deal. Can you say amen? Rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. Woo! So you defeated a fallen angel. Big deal. Rejoice over something that is a big deal. You've been transformed from death to life. Hell's gates couldn't hold you back. I found out that the greatest fight that I'll ever engage in is the night I got saved, the night I surrendered to Christ. If hell could do anything to hold me back, it would have done it that night. But hell couldn't stop me that night, and hell can't stop me or you now. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus. Listen to this carefully. It's so important. Demon powers react to the real manifest presence of God. They're more reactive than a lot of Christians. There's a lot of Christians, ho-hum, God shows up. But demon powers don't ho-hum. They tremble. They tremble. And a lot of times they become aggressive because they want you to back off of this Jesus stuff. They want you to quit proclaiming, and we're going to pray because this is some of the stuff we're talking about that we're in battle with right now. Amen. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, be with our brother, his family right now, that the enemy would torment and hurt, cause confusion with them. Let peace reign and power reign. This is what we're preaching about. This is why you've changed the message. We're going to win this war. We're going to see this victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. I understand that. The enemy has risen up, and it's not unusual. It is commonplace. Missionaries experience it all of the time. I don't know if any of you have been in any particular battles lately that have taken your focus from the Lord, his call, his worship, prayer, something that has just come in like a flood when the enemy comes in, and he comes in this way all the time. He never creeps in the sense of his battle plan. He'll creep in to tempt you, but when he's coming against you to stop your forward momentum, he's not coming in a creeping fashion. He comes in like a flood. The Bible said in the Old Testament, when the enemy comes in like a flood, can you say amen? The Lord will raise up a standard against him. Amen. And that scripture is so powerful because it goes on to talk about a Redeemer that's going to come. So God's standard is the Redeemer that was going to come. Amen. Amen. And the Redeemer that was going to come is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and our Redeemer. Jesus is the standard that God has raised up to defeat the enemy. Can you say amen? And there's power in my name. You'll what? You'll what? You'll tread on serpents. In my name, you will what? You will cast out devils. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's not just reserved to the clergy. Amen. This is something that every child of God has access to, and that is the mighty authority of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In my name, you will tread on serpents. In my name, you will cast out devils. We don't argue against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles, the treachery and deceit. Everybody say treachery and deceit. How many has ever watched a cartoon you in your life? How many has watched Coyote and the Roadrunner in your whole life? What kind of coyote is he? He's the wily coyote. You're learning Greek. Amen. From the scripture, what the Greek word meant, wily. And I like to think of the devil like the coyote. Not that he's not seriously committed to our destruction. Because believe me, that coyote is seriously committed, amen, to destroying the Roadrunner. But he always, somehow, his schemes foul up. Amen. You know what the Bible said of us? Paul said, as Christians, we're not ignorant of his devices. If you rub me wrong today, you make me angry, and you can. I'm not that sanctified. There are things you can do that can really get to me. I'm not that sanctified. Don't even try it. Get us both in trouble, can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'll be in trouble for getting angry. You'll be in trouble for provoking me to anger. I don't want to have to deal with that, praise God. So let's just love one another. Let's, you know. But I'm capable of it. I got news for you. Here's a news flash. You're capable of it too. Can you say amen? And the devil wants to provoke me to anger. But the Bible said, be angry and sin not. Don't let it lead you to sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You don't have to be defeated. Amen. Be angry and sin not. It didn't say never get angry, because it's impossible. Thank you for the hearty amen. It's impossible. No one is that. Jesus went into the temple, and he had righteous anger. And he didn't sin when he kicked over the money tape. But here's something you can't visualize Jesus doing. He braided a whip. Everybody say this was premeditated. Come on, this was not some burst of anger. He braided a whip. One preacher said he'd get ready to whoop some jaybirds that had turned the temple in. You know, he was. He braided a whip. And when he got it braided enough that you could really feel that thing, he stood up and he said, you've made God's house a den of thieves. But I've come today to clean it out. Amen. And he didn't say, would y'all please go and leave here. Just breaks God's heart. And he breaks my heart too. See what you've done to God's house. Would y'all please go? I got a dog like that. You can't plead with my dog. You got to threaten my dog. And my dog, I got a big old lazy dog, 90 pounds of just lazy dog. You say, why you got a dog like that? Because the dog had nobody else to love it. They would have put that dog, they'd gas that dog, and they wouldn't even give it a chance to go anywhere because nobody wouldn't want it because all it does is sleep and eat. But she's so fluffy. Can you say, man? She's, if you haven't seen that movie, you won't know what I'm talking about, but she's so fluffy. She's got a big old sweetheart. She just don't want to get up. Amen. I can't get her up by being nice to her. I can't get her up by calling her. The only way I can get her up, amen, is to threaten her. Amen. And mainly, not to beat her or anything, because I don't want to hurt the old dog. Amen. She reminds me of me. But anyway, I'm getting kind of long in the tooth. Amen. But I have compassion for old dogs and old things like that. And she hates cameras. And you can go get a camera. You don't even have to flash it. Just go get the camera. When she sees the camera, she's up and she's like this. That old back leg got arthritis. Let's don't even go there, brother. Amen. He loved that doggy too. He understands. Amen. She's up and out of there. There's another thing that'll get her out. Amen. And that is when you get a vacuum cleaner. Oh, when she sees the vacuum cleaner, she gets up and she gets out. Jesus knew their hearts. He knew they didn't love God. He knew they were there for the wrong reason. There's something called righteous indignation. Amen. And Jesus braided a whip and he kicked over the money tables. Amen. And if you think this doe-eyed Jesus that looked like a candidate for Geritol that somebody painted, amen, they'd have took that whip away from him, beat him up. Honey, he was a carpenter's son. Amen. He was suntanned. Amen. I believe he had a bicep and a tricep. I believe that he did. He was a man that did labor with his daddy. Amen. His whole life. He was a manly man. Don't turn him into something that he wasn't. Can you say amen? And when time to stand up, he stood up. But when it was time to go to the cross, this man, not just in his physical stature, but in his spiritual identity, he was God in the flesh. He wasn't just some poor old martyr going to die. He was God incarnate. God who spoke and the universes came into being, held his peace, and as a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth, and he told Peter, if my kingdom were of this world, I could call legions of angels and destroy it right now. All I'd have to do is say it. If a man hung on the cross, that could have come off the cross any time he wanted with that kind of power and suffered that kind of pain, I love him for that. Can you say, man? That's why I like to see those big trucks that you have to have a ladder. I was looking at a truck last night. Amen. That in a parking lot. And I don't know how. I almost wanted to sit there and say, how in the world are they going to get up in that thing? Do they have a ladder they carry around with them? Because it had tires this big. And then the suspension was that big. I couldn't reach the door handle. I could not reach the door handle. I'd have to carry me a stool to sit down and get up on to open the door. And then what have you got? How are you going to get up there? I like a nice truck. Don't get me wrong, but I got a little S10. I can slide right in that bad boy. Amen. But I can't see climbing up a ladder to get in a truck and climbing down a ladder. But on the back of that truck, you know what it said? Because somebody's athletic enough to grab a hold of something and swing himself up into that truck and to jump out of it. Amen. And the bumper sticker said, real men love Jesus. And I thought, glory to God. Amen. And it's on that truck. Amen. It wasn't on a Volkswagen. Can you say amen? Made a little more sense when it's on the back of that truck. So if you think Jesus was a wimp, he wasn't. He said, be angry and what? Sin not. Don't let it lead you to do things and say things in anger. Don't let the devil do that. The Bible said we're not ignorant of what his devices. So the first piece of armor was the belt of truth. And then everything hinges on that truth. But here's what I want to get to without preaching on the armor today. Amen. As we're praying and God is going to move. This is not unusual. This is actually usual, because we're moving toward a breakthrough that God is going to give, and everything that the enemy can do to distract, disrupt, he's doing it. He's going to lose this thing. The fact that he's showing up to operate, amen, shows that we're on the right track. He fights what he fears. Can you say amen? Not because he thinks he can defeat it. He's hoping that we'll back off. Back off of this prayer thing. Back off of claiming your loved ones. Back off of believing God for your healing. Back off of believing that there's going to be an actual victory come. Just back off, back off, back off. Can you say amen? Stop praying. Stop believing. Stop standing on the word of God. Back off, back off, back off. Why is he saying back off? He's saying back off because he knows if we don't back off, God is not going to back up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He watches over his word to perform it. Amen. How many in here could use a spiritual victory? Amen. A breakthrough in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only can I use it, it's imperative that God come through in my life. What I'm facing will require the supernatural victory that only God can give. Hallelujah. But I know this God of Abraham. I know this God of Jacob. I know this God of Isaac. And they that do know their God will be strong in spite of all the junk and will do exploits. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All of the armor is enumerated in Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Put on the breastplate. Put on the helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let your loins start out being girt about with truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take ye the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Listen to this. Having done all, stand. Having done all. Once you take the armor, you walk into a victory that is already won. You don't go out to see if you can get the victory anymore. Because if you're going out to see if you can get the victory, it means you don't know you have the victory. You go out with your armor on to declare a victory that's already won. How many know that our boss defeated the world's boss 2,000 years ago at Mount Calvary? Can you say amen? My boss defeated their boss. It's done. That's why Jesus said, in heaven, as far as I'm concerned, my Father has already defeated that devil. I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. That wasn't no big 12-rounder, was it? That wasn't a bunch of give and take, was it? Amen. When God said, you're out of here, he fell. And he fell just like lightning strikes from heaven. There wasn't no big battle going on. That's why the name of Jesus is so powerful in battle. That's why he is our banner in battle. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when Christ is declared, God shows up to honor the name of his Son that he has exalted in three worlds with absolute power. Listen to this, these scriptures, how they run. Though he thought, Jesus thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, yet he humbled himself. Took on himself the form of a servant and loved not his life even unto the death. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name that is named of things in heaven. There's not an angel. There's not a ranking angel. There's no person in heaven higher ranking than Jesus Christ. In fact, the Father and him are one. Even though it's one God manifest in three persons, they're one in glory, one in power, one in purpose. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Glory to God. Amen. God has highly exalted him, and that at the sound of his name, every knee would bow. Of things in heaven, there's not an angel that doesn't honor, amen, and bow to the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. On earth, there's a lot of people here that aren't bowing yet, but I want you to know a day is coming. Everybody say a day is coming. Amen. There's a lot of people here that blaspheme his name, that shake their fist at God, that close their heart to salvation, that have no regard for the Savior. But a day is coming, the Bible said, because God has ordained it. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. That every knee will bow. Amen. And every tongue will confess that he is what? Lord, to the glory of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every knee of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and beneath the earth. Believe me, we are going to be there. I believe God's going to let us see it when Satan has to bow down, admit defeat, concede his kingdom is ruined, and the day of that ruin started the day Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The devil ain't what he used to be. Does he cause trouble? Yes, he does. Will he continue to do it until they bind him up, throw him in the pit? When he comes out, the absolute end of it all begins. That's why the Bible said, you as a child of God, give no place to the devil. Because if you don't give it, he has no authority to take it. I was tormented with fear. I went through nervous exhaustion for years. Fear stalked me. I was tormented. Fear hath torment, the scripture said. I've been there. When David said he delivered me from the horrible pit, I know exactly where that place is. I know how dark it is, how hopeless it is. I know what it feels like. I had nights that I prayed, God, take me home. Take me home. I don't preach the junk, spiritual junk food to you. Because in real spiritual battle, all of that stuff is worthless. Yeah. I don't care if you shout the house down this morning. You got to go out that door and face the devil. Yeah. And you got to know how to win that battle, because he don't care how much you laugh. He don't care how long you lay on the floor. He don't care whether you jump, hop. He don't care about your revelations if you don't understand how to fight and win this battle. Doesn't matter to him. He ain't going to back off because you just had a good old time at church. Let me sound that out. In fact, if you get to the point you might be a witness where you can plunder hell and populate heaven, amen, he's going to come against you with everything that he's got. If you're a threat to him, look out. All those that live godly, what's going to happen? You're going to get a reaction from this world, and Satan is the god of this world. Shall suffer what? Persecution. If you're not being persecuted, we're going to make an altar call here before we leave. Because without exception, Brother Taylor, all those that live godly, don't even get me started about persecution. If we start showing scars this morning, it's going to take hours and hours. And God has delivered me past those scars. And past, you know what scars are? You know, I have scars. You can't preach for this and lift up Jesus this long and not go through some battles and get battle scarred. But you know what scars are? Scars are proof that some bleeding wound has healed. And it's not bleeding no more. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I can't tell you I don't have scars, but I can tell you this, I'm not going to bleed out. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to keep on lifting up Jesus. I'm going to keep magnifying his name. We re-enrolled at a gym, been going there for 5 weeks. I know you can't see it through my clothes, and I'm not taking them off. Amen. So, but I met a man there. He's about 25, 26 years old. He's ex-Marine, and he had been married, and he got divorced. And while he was married and got out of the Marine Corps, his ex-wife must have been a great cook, because he really ballooned up there. And he's there trying to get this weight off, you know. And I know he's an ex-Marine, and what they say, you know, and I told him, I tried to encourage him, because I want him to know you're exchanging. Now, what you're doing, you're exchanging muscle, because I used to be a gym rat years ago, way back in the day. Don't look at me now. Way back in the day. Amen. But, and I told him, I said, you're exchanging muscle for fat, and the muscle is denser, so don't look at the scale every night. Just look how you feel in your clothes. You can see a difference is coming. It's not just about the weight itself, it's about the changes coming in your body. And I tried to encourage him, you know, and So anyway, I knew he was ex-Marine, and that, you know, they got a saying among the Marine Corps, Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi, which means always faithful, always faithful. So he come by the other day and he asked me, he says, how you doing, preacher? Or not preacher. He said, how you doing? He said, how you doing tonight? I said, whimper sigh. Took him a little while to get it, just like it did you. I'm here. I'm working out. I'm doing the best I can do. Getting a little sore right now, to tell you the truth. But I'm not bleeding out. 1,000. I meet with pastors, and I've spoke three times, I think, at pastors' meetings where 50 or 60 pastors gather. I meet with three of them every Tuesday morning to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to hold each other accountable for our life and our walk with Christ. Amen? Because we need accountability, and we need to interact with one another. And let me just tell you this little thing. Amen. We got one of the pastors I meet with is a Baptist guy from Southern Baptist Convention, and he did something Sunday before the last Sunday. You know what he did? He went and got him at the store down at Publix. He got him some olive oil. We haven't been trying to convert him. We've just been sharing, mutually sharing together. This is not a big doctrinal thing. This is trying to, you know, get. If my goal is to pray more fervently, more frequently, because I'm seeing God move. I don't want anything to interrupt that. And they hold my feet to the fire. I said, well, how's that prayer stuff going on? How's that going? How you doing? Did you get it? Well, and then I got a guy beside me over here that's 297 pounds, and he's a full gospel preacher, literally full gospel preacher. Can you say amen? And he wants to lose about 50 pounds. And he wants to study the word more. So we hold each other in accountability. Amen. But this, my dear brother from the Southern Baptist Convention got him a bottle of olive oil. He said, you know something? I've never done this in my church in my life. But he said, there's a man there that's been asking us to pray for years for a chronic physical problem that's been going on. He's a sweet man. He really loves God. He said, I called him down Sunday morning. I got that bottle of oil out. He said, I didn't know what was going to happen. Amen. He said, but I took that oil and I laid hands on him. And he said, you know, I thought, well, suddenly he might just get better and right there on the spot, but said nothing happened. And he said, so I put the oil down. And he said, but he came next Sunday and he said, you know something? He said, I'm feeling better. He said, that pain's not like it used to be. He said, so you know what? He said, that's something, isn't it? His eyes got big like he was excited. He said, that's something, isn't it? Amen. If you pray and somebody's doing better, isn't that, maybe that's a beginning here. Maybe this is a start. And I'm looking for him to go get some more oil before this is over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because I'm looking for that guy to get better and better and better and better. And they saw a man do something he's never done in his life. Amen. He went and got a bottle of olive oil. And he called a man down front. And he said, it's here in the Bible in James 5 and verse 14. How many believe James 5:14 is just as authoritative as John 3:16? You can't pick and choose when you get in this book, honey. Amen. It's either God's word, or it's tis or it ain't. If it's God's word, let's stand on all of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm so excited about? No one's trying to convert this man. No one's trying to doctrinally cross swords with him. We're just meeting. He sees that these Pentecostal guys, we're just guys that love God. Hallelujah. We're preachers with the same goal, to see Jesus exalted, to see souls saved, to see God move in our generation. We're declaring Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's rubbing off on him. And we're not even trying, because he hears testimonies. He's heard what God has done for my son, 30 years of alcoholism. Broken without delirium tremors or withdrawal symptoms, without medication. Hallelujah. Celebrating 6 months and 1 week today. 6 months and 1 week with no alcohol after 30 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. Of acute alcoholism. Twice in the hospital with alcohol poisoning. amen, once in a mental institution, amen, because of alcoholism, amen, and a hepatitis damaged liver and a liver with liver damage operating below the right level of liver function, amen. After God delivered him from alcohol, went back to the liver doctor. The liver doctor said, your liver's functioning above a healthy level. He said, young man, something was going to take you out of this world someday, but it will not be your liver. God healed his liver, delivered him from alcoholism. Praise God. Our God is a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you start telling it everywhere you go, and Baptist preachers go out and buy oil. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh, there's a Baptist preacher by the name of John Piper. He believes in divine healing. He believes we need the Holy Spirit. God wants to shake up the church, not just a few denominations. He wants to shake his church. He wants us to get it right. Hallelujah. God can deliver anybody from anything because he's Almighty God. We told some of the things that happen among us preachers. We're inspiring one another. When they hear of answered prayer, they get excited. Their ears perk up because we preach this, we teach this, we talk about Jesus, but seeing him move, there's nothing like it. Seeing him actually come through, there's nothing like it. And I love to tell it. In fact, I was in a Baptist church hosting all-pro pastors luncheon with pastors from a lot of different denominations, and I gave my son's testimony. Praise God. And it was so good to watch that fire start flaming up in hearts of ministers. And I know when they hit the pulpit, they're going to talk about a Jesus that's relevant to today and not just preach a historic Jesus of the yesterday. Praise God. Because they hear prayers being answered. God is coming through. Amen. I work with a minister who's had to forcibly take a two-year-old from his daughter. Amen. Because she's hopelessly, in the natural sense, burnout on drugs. Amen. And he's watching his daughter self-destruct. And he's bringing his little grandchild up, 2 years old, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Had to go to court and get a court order to take him out of that environment. And he's a man of such joy. You wouldn't know he was having such problems. But I could see the tears through his laughter. Amen. And he said, I've used the Q word. He said, I almost used the Q word. Almost used the Q word. You know what the Q word is to ministers? Quit. Quit. Let me tell you how many preachers leave active ministry monthly. 1,500 in America quit the pulpit every month. That means over 15,000 a year, more like 17,000 a year, leave the ministry. All over the net, churches are advertising, trying to get pastors because they don't last long. And I'm going to tell you something else. Their marriages don't last long. The burnout and the pressure. We need God to come through. Yes. We've got it to such a science. We've got it as such a planned program. We know how to entertain an audience, but we desperately need God to come through. Amen. And when God shows up, it's different in his presence. He can break anything through his anointing. But we need our own hearts cleansed and our own hearts broken, our own lives challenged and changed so we can be an example to the flock, not just highly anointed, gifted ministers, but we can walk it out, flesh it out, live it out. Can you say amen? How many believe the preachers need victory? Amen. Not just preach victory, need victory, not just teach victory. And sometimes we use humor to help cut through the pretense and all the, you know, all the preacher stuff, and just we usually open up with humor. I heard this one of the ministers telling from an embarrassing incident. You'll like this when preachers let the guard down and become real people that are real with God, and they can come back to their congregation and say, "I'm a real man with real problems, just like you, but I know a real God with real answers." Yes, can you say amen? Everybody say, get real. Get real. I'd like people to go away from here and in the modern vernacular say, he wasn't fronting. Amen. He told me the truth. He's walking in truth. He's living this out. He's speaking from his heart. True story. Pastor went to visit an elderly woman from his church who had had an operation. As he was sitting there talking with her, he noticed a bowl of peanuts on the stand next to the bed. So he began to eat them. They were very good friends. And he began to eat the peanuts. Soon it was time for him to leave. When he got up, he noticed he'd eaten all her peanuts. "Sister Jones," he said, "I'm sorry. I've eaten all your peanuts." "That's okay, Pastor. I've already sucked all the chocolate off of them." Say ooh again. Hallelujah. That's a little too close, isn't it? It could happen. It did happen.
Okay.
Listen, what I'm saying is when we meet together as men and women of God, if we're going to defeat the devil, we can't go to spiritual battle without some joy in their heart. Can you say amen? I've seen people do that. They never smile. No. They're too engaged in fighting devils to smile and enjoy the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how this works. We're going to tie this right in and tie it up. Listen, amen. In the scripture, where the Bible says, having done all, stand, after you've put the armor on, having done all, the actual rendering in the Greek is not something you do now that you have your armor on, in the sense of your personal engaging the enemy in a one-to-one battle. Amen. It actually reads like this, having overcome all. In other words, when you put on that armor, you are an overcomer. You're not going out to see if you can become a victor. You are a victor. The day you put the armor on, you're standing in the finished victory of what Jesus did at Calvary. Amen. And for him to defeat you, he would have to undo what Jesus did at the cross, and he can't undo that because that is a done deal. Amen. And so the Bible said, having overcome all, then what do you do next? You stand in the victory that is yours in Jesus Christ. You do not wear out that way. You do not wear thin that way. You do not get weary in well-doing that way. You do not back up that way. You do not back off that way. Because you're standing in a victory that has been achieved for you at the cross. Amen. And you declare it in a name. Everybody say a name. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, I claim this. In the name of Jesus, I decree this. In the name of Jesus, I declare this. Hallelujah. And if it's God's will and you've discovered it, God will honor that. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? I meet people all the time that put their armor on and then they go out and look like the whole fight depends on them.
Yeah.
They can't smile. They can't laugh. Let me tell you what Israel did when God delivered them from the hand of the enemy. When God turned the captivity of Zion, then was our tongues filled with laughter and our mouths with song. Say that with me. When God turned the captivity of Zion, then was our tongue filled with laughter and our mouth with song. Praise God. When God did that great work. Let me read it from Psalm, because I want to show the effect on other people. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, Psalm 126, we were like them that dream. Isn't that incredible? They said, we've been in captivity so long, it was like a dream. Is this victory real, or am I just dreaming? Remember the counterpart in the New Testament? When God shows up and shows out, we're believing him for it, but when it really happens, we say, is that really happening? It's so over. I mean, really, really, really? Everybody say, really, really, really.
Really.
Is your son really, really, really healed? Well, the doctor used the name God 3 times in his prognosis. That means he's acknowledged the supernatural. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. It was there. It's gone. Yeah, really, really, really. Praise God. Is he really, really free from alcohol? Yeah, he's really, really. He's got his grandkids watching him. Amen. He's got his daughter watching him. He's got his wife watching him. I got my eyes on him. Can you say amen? Praise God. He's free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If he don't go back, he's free. Praise God. And he says he don't want to go back. And we're urging him to not stop with being free. Now go ahead and hook up close to Jesus and follow him. Amen. Like you've never followed him. Listen. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Let me give you the counterpart and we'll get out of here. Peter is held over for death. They would have done killed him. Amen. But he was held over for the morning. They feared these guys because they walked with God. So they put them in stocks. And then to add to that, not only are they bound, but they put two soldiers in there with them to sit with them. Make sure they didn't get out. Somewhere in the middle of the night, Peter committed it all to God and he fell asleep. Now, if you can sleep in a circumstance like that, you have prayed until peace has come. How many know that's the truth? If you're not walking the floor or crying out, it means that you have rested in the Lord. And boy, that's the place I love to get to. Amen. Where the battle is now the Lord's. Can you say, man, where I rest in him and he takes up the hard stuff. So Peter's sleeping. That indicates, amen, he's got some peace going on. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. In all things in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. How can he sleep in that condition, not knowing what the next day holds? Because he's committed it all to God and he's sleeping peacefully. And while he's sleeping, not while he's wrestling with devils, not while he's binding devils, not while he's fighting, while he's resting, sleeping, sweetly sleeping. In between two soldiers, boy, they scared of him. Church is praying without ceasing for him. Angel walks in, smacks him on the thigh. Wake up! Peter jumps up, and there stands an angel. That just smacked him on the thigh. Yep. Stocks fell off. Prison door swings open. Angel says, or was that Bruce Lee? I don't know. Maybe it was like this. Can you say amen? Angel says that to the devil. Says this to us. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Peter gets up. He's walking. But he says, boy. Don't wake me up now. What a dream.
Yeah.
Wait till I tell them what I dreamt last night. I dreamt an angel smacked me. I dreamed the stocks fell off and the doors opened. And I was walking out of this prison. What a dream. Walked outside, the angel disappeared. Peter's waiting for the dream to end. But God showed up. God sent an angel. God did the supernatural. And he thought he was dreaming, the scripture said. What did it say here? It said when God showed up after 70 years of captivity and it looked like it would never end and God had abandoned us, but God can't remember his covenant. God turned the captivity of Zion. Babylon had to turn us loose. Can you say amen? And when we started walking back to the holy city, we were like them that dream. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. But we realize this is not a dream. This is really, really, really real. Everybody say really, really, really real. Glory be to God. And what happened? Everybody say ha, 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 ha. Oh, glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Glory. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. But when we realized it wasn't a dream, then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for us. The world had to admit their God is a mighty God. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise. How many would like to have more of a witness in your bumper sticker? How many would like to be more convincing than all of these people that are fighting the gospel just by the fact that when you pray, God comes through? Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm expecting great things and greater things. I told those preachers, I said, you hold my feet to the fire. If I come in here and I said, oh, I missed a day praying because I was just too busy. And God understands how busy I am. Honey, no. I don't want to miss a day because I don't want to miss an opportunity, amen, for God to see in my heart that He can honor, amen, by showing up, praise God, and moving supernaturally. And by the way, just so you know some of my prayer life, I'm gonna let you have a glimpse of it today. We don't eat a meal. We sat here yesterday. We cleaned the church because Sandy's got a health issue. We sat here and ate a meal in that room. And when we started eating that meal, I prayed for you, every one of you, that God would stretch forth His hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done by the name of His holy child, Jesus, that God would come through in your life, that God would answer your prayers. Amen. I mean, not the whole thing. I shortened it because I was hungry. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But God, listen, I prayed that prayer. I won't pray over my food without praying for God to show up and show out so that every one of us has a testimony. Amen. I don't know what you're facing today. But listen, amen, God is still on the throne. Jesus is still the same. The devil is still defeated. The blood of Jesus has already been shed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Him a clap offering. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Number two, if you will, on that will you sing one song of praise before we dismiss? Are you glad you came? Are you looking for more?